This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And at 9:08, you're listening to WSMI AM 1540. It's the Wednesday Talk Show. I'm your host, Tobin Ott, alongside everybody's favorite uncle, Uncle Ralph Niehaus. Uncle Ralph, how are you today?
Not too bad. Not too bad.
Perfect weather outside.
Couldn't be better.
I know.
Couldn't be better. The only thing is, as I stated off the air, it was a morning when you kind of hated to get out of bed because it was really nice and cool. And didn't have to run the air and all that good stuff.
Every morning it's like that with me.
Is it?
Oh, I just want to stay in bed. That's all. Never mind. we have a couple of good guests here this week. Erica Kennett and Ron Diebenderfer, a.k.a. Mr. D. You're lucky your last name didn't start with an E. That would have been cool. Mr. E. Told you I'd get in the lap. Yeah. They're our guests this week. They're talking about the Montgomery County Economic Development Corporation, and we'll have that conversation right after this.
Making final arrangements at the time of need is difficult for even the strongest of families. While we do everything we can to make things easier, there is a better way. At Plummer Funeral Home, we offer pre-arranged funeral planning, allowing you to make your wishes known in a quiet, dignified way. It gives you time to consider the different options and then create a personalized service that will reflect your individual wishes and beliefs. Plummer Funeral Home, the locally owned hometown funeral home, your neighbor and your friend.
And we're back on the Wednesday Talk Show. Tobin Ott alongside with everybody's favorite uncle, Uncle Ralph Niehaus. We are here with Erica Kennett and Ron Diebenderfer. They're here to talk about the Montgomery County Economic Development Corporation. And ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
And Erica, let's start with you. Ladies first, what's going on with the corporation now?
Well, we have had a pretty exciting, I think the last time we were here is about a couple months ago. Since then, we've hired a new grant writer, and we're rocking and rolling all over town, working with business retention, working with a couple of local businesses who are expanding, which is always great news. And we have a new board of directors, and we are lining up for a really great year.
Tell us a little bit about the board here. I know Mr. D is the new board chairman.
He is. We're very excited to have him on board. Our new vice chairman is John Gaylor. Our secretary is our previous chairman, Terry Miller, and our treasurer is Sheila White.
Good people there on
the board. Absolutely.
Good people there. And when does that's already in effect now?
Yes.
Or when does that?
That took effect at our annual meeting, which was end of March.
End of March. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You mentioned a moment ago about you had a new grant writer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is an area that I was not very familiar with until I was a member of the Montgomery County Water Company and found out real quick how important grant writing is and to have someone who does it and does it correctly. It's very important.
Absolutely. And we have our grant writer, and then I also will be able to write grants. It's one of the benefits that we offer member communities is that each of our municipalities that are members, we're able to write one grant a year for each of them. And that can be for anything. It doesn't strictly have to be an economic development purpose. It can be they need a new backhoe or they need a new warning siren. And we're able to help out as much as we possibly can to get them the money that they need to get things going in their community.
Covering news like I've been doing here for the past 6-7 years, I've noticed the press releases I get about the city of, like, say, the Village of Irving gets a grant. Most of it, I think it's easier, is it not, to get a new fire truck or police car than anything?
Well, I think those may be more readily available. There's, you know, and right now, the world of grant writing is very intense. Everyone's budgets are extremely cut, not only from the community perspective, but from those who are offering the grants. And there's always usually more people applying for money than there is money available. So they are getting more and more competitive. Since we have some experience doing that, and we're able to offer that to those businesses. We do offer it also to some of our nonprofit members. We've written grants before for the Hillsborough Area Hospital, as well as our municipalities.
To put it bluntly, the fight for the almighty dollar has never been tougher.
Amen.
And that's why it's kind of, well, very important for us to have an experienced grant writer on board. Before the reorganization, we had Heather Hampton Nodal as our CEO, and she also did some grant writing. And Amanda Cole from the Extension Services as a grant writer. That kind of disappeared, and as Erica said, funding is drying up. And so I, as a layman, don't have the expertise to know where the money is, and nor the context with rural development, for example. But we've been able to hire Nancy Slepchika, who not only writes the grants well, but with Erica's help, can be in tune with where money might be coming down. A lot of grant money came for security reasons, mm-hmm. fire trucks, police cars, because of 9/11.
Right.
And that wave is kind of, I'm afraid, we've ridden its crest, and now there are other things there, but as Eric said, very limited, so we need the expertise that we have to latch them, to find them.
One of the things we are eligible for, periodically there are grants aimed for those who were affected by Hurricane Ike, and we are one of those communities. And so there are a variety of different, it may sound strange, but
how was that possible?
There, because of the water, a lot of the times the water would floating downstream, and a lot of groundwater issues. And it's kind of based on a map. And so periodically they will have grants available for comprehensive planning for disaster recovery. A lot of communities either don't have a comprehensive plan, or they need to add some kind of emergency disaster recovery component to that plan, and those monies are being provided for that. Some are able to use them for infrastructure for water, better water, stormwater drainage systems, but they are very periodic and they're sporadic, and I've rumor has it there's another round coming up, but I'm not quite sure what the grant monies can be used for. But we will be looking into that and letting our member communities know.
Mr. D, you made a valid point a while ago when you mentioned it's easier to get a fire truck or a police car due to 911. And 911 did put a lot of pressure on communities to upgrade their fire departments, upgrade their police departments. And the age-old question, well, yeah, this is all well and good, but where do we get the buck to do it? You know, and this has all been brought about basically by 911.
Yeah, and Homeland Security.
Yeah.
And we need to be as secure in Coffeyne as they are in New York City, because there's a power plant right outside of the town, and it could be a target.
And
hopefully it'll never happen, but it could.
And you know, a lot of people don't take that into realization, that the power plant is right there at Coffeyne. You know, it kind of sets back, and you don't notice it. You don't hear a lot about it, but there it is, you know.
And our lakes are also another possible target.
True.
My goodness.
If you was going to, what would be a better way to destroy or disrupt a community than to destroy the water? You know.
And it's a tough sell sometimes, as you say, because people don't realize that things are there. But we have to be vigilant, and we have to. Sometimes you get things for what seems to be frivolous reasons that are very helpful. Irving needed Irving Township needed a maintenance shed, and they have a nice one now through rural development. We're very grateful for that. But there's criteria that communities have to meet to get those grants as well.
Are you seeing with the grants, because I know there were times when it was just 100% grant, you know, you had to apply, and if you were lucky to get selected for it, you didn't have to pay any money back. Those days are probably over, aren't they? It's more, what, 60-40, 70-30?
Sometimes it's 80-20, where you put in 20, they'll put in 80. But, you know, when you look at doing a large-scale project where it's a $1 million project,
mm-hmm.
the community would have to still come up with 20%, and often that is still cost prohibitive for some of the projects that we may want to do.
With the economic development, though, and you look at St. Louis and what I'm not bringing sports into it a little bit, but what the CVC has got to do with the convention center there. There are times when, yeah, it's a lot of money up front, but if you look at the future and down the road on what something can bring, that's got to be considered.
Absolutely. The financial impact of keeping the football team, like you say, in St. Louis is, it affects the gas. It affects meal ticket receipts, heads and beds at the, and then the neighboring tourist attractions. I'm sure on weekends there are football games, the Arch is seeing more traffic. Mm-hmm. More people are going to Crown Candy to eat. So I think that there's a lot of different types of things that you do have to factor in. And I think that can be played directly into local economic development incentives or statewide is how many people are going to be able to get jobs? You know, when we can employ our people and we can give them money that they can then in turn not only enhance their quality of life, but they can spend more in gas and they can spend more in they can buy a new house. So the property values are going up. So we can really affect what's going on here by looking at properly using those types of tools.
And one of the things we're trying to do is expand to cooperate more. Erica is well-founded in the Metro East area. Montgomery County needs to be more involved in Metro East activities because we could easily, if we're not already a bedroom community for the Metro East area, we will be in the near future to expand northward.
And that's kind of like an identity crisis because we're right at that cusp where we're an hour away from Springfield. We're about an hour away from Decatur. We're an hour away from St. Louis. We're right smack in the middle, but yet we're too far out for, we're not deemed the Metro East area because we're like Edwardsville. You drive through Edwardsville. I graduated SIUE back in 2000. That town looks completely different than what it does now. That's a tough transition to figure out what way you want to go.
And people will come north out of that area. Well, look at Macoupin County already has some development from the Metro East, and truthfully, we'd like a piece of that pie. We need planned development, but we certainly need development, and that's one way to get it.
I can remember back when the rumor first started going around about rural water. And they had a meeting at the courthouse, and I told the wife, I said, well, I'm going to go. I'm curious. I said, I can't imagine a water line running by our house 6 miles from town. So to make a long story short, I went to a meeting, and it's one of those meetings. I went to a meeting and came home a board member. and if you being involved in this, this is one of the things that still baffles me is what they have done. The water company are running water lines all over it's just amazing. It's just amazing the things that we can do, but it all goes back to that almighty dollar. You got to have the dollar, but you can't do it.
Well, and doing those kind of infrastructure improvements helps the kind of planning that Ron was mentioning about being prepared for growth. And not necessarily industrial growth, not necessarily residential growth. It's not, we're not talking about significant sprawl here throughout the community, but just the enhancements of an economically viable community.
You wouldn't believe when you talk about urban sprawl, and you wouldn't believe the amount of homes that have been built out in the rural area, out where we live, or various areas, because of one thing. They can got water. And before they had to dig a well, and they didn't want to do that.
Yeah.
Now they've got city water, so they'll do it.
And I've always been, and I've said this when Heather Hampton Noldle was in your position, that this county needs to be prepared. And I'm including my home county, Macoupin County, too, in this as well. We need to be prepared for a movement of people coming up. We mentioned earlier, Edwardsville is not the same anymore. Fairview Heights isn't the same anymore. And you're going to get those people that would like to have a laid-back, relaxing atmosphere moving out of those towns, and they've got nowhere to go except they're going to hit Hamel, Staunton, and hopefully this area here. And we got to be prepared for that. And I'm not saying it's going to be an abundance, but we got to be prepared.
Well, and we don't have to make the investment of the infrastructure, but at least taking the time and the forethought to come up with a plan in general. And I think that's kind of what community with the comprehensive plan for the county. That's it's right. Not a tool for zoning. It's not saying where we're going to designate things to right. go, but at least making ourselves and the public aware of the assets that we have here and how they can potentially be used in a variety of different circumstances.
And Mr. D brought up a good point. Whether we want to be or not, we are to a degree, and we will be more so down the line, a bed and breakfast community. General Motors is not going to come into Hillsborough and build an automobile plant. So we have to take what we can get, and this is one of the things that we have the opportunity to get.
And the, another thing that economic development deals with ideally is quality of life for the residents that we have, and the rural water lines definitely improved quality of life. I remember being in the country and hauling water and using a cistern and hoping it didn't poison my kids.
This was a big thing. You may have a well on the farm or rural community, and that well be good. 30 days later, it may not be because of subground runoff or something. And now, here you are doing just what you said. You get your water tank and haul water, and that's not fun when it's zero.
And we were talking about infrastructure here, and there is development regarding infrastructure that will be announced or updated, I guess, this week, and that's the Eagle Pitcher site. And Mr. D, what's going on with that? I know there's a public hearing Thursday.
Public hearing Thursday at 6:30 at the Hillsborough High School cafeteria. It's a Superfund site. It needs to be cleaned up, but as Uncle Ralph says, that involves money, and the EPA doesn't seem to have it. But we'll have what the public hearing will be, I believe, is an update on progress that is or is not being made. Building the fence around it, I think, helped some because it kept some people from going in and stripping the place and maybe becoming not being aware of it, but maybe picking up some chemicals in their body that ought not be there in the process. But the fence isn't enough. We have to do some other things with it.
And we have seen that area just right across the road, the sports complex, the new water plant and stuff. We have seen all that come into that area, and I'm old enough to remember when that was just grass and weeds. There wasn't nothing there, and now they've made it into a beautiful. So this is what is possible.
Yes.
But not to wear out the term, M-O-N-E-Y has to be there before you can.
Not only that, but you got to understand, Eagle's Pit, the Eagle Zinc site is a perfect example. It takes time. And there's a lot of red tape. I hate saying it this way. There's a lot of red tape that you have to go through before something becomes a reality. It's not like, and you and I have experienced this with the press conferences that we've covered, saying, oh, my God, we're going to have a Tenasca or a, what was the wind farm outside of Harville, in between Harville and Taylorville. Oh, this is going to be built. This is going to be great. It's going to be here. Nothing's happened. And I think that burns out a lot of people. It's like, well, we've heard this before, and now it's not here.
Well, we've got one at Farmersville.
Yeah, that's true.
Before I was on the county board, I was very impatient with things that were happening. Now that I'm on the county board and see all the hoops that have to be gone through, it's frustrating, but it's also necessary. Mm-hmm. If we don't do the testing for environmental protection and those sorts of things, we could make major mistakes that would take years to recover. So I'm a changed person. I'm not as impatient as I was when I first ran.
And you mentioned the comprehensive plan, and that this has been mentioned too. That comprehensive plan, great and grand. I was a part of that when it was created. But it's a grocery list, and it all goes down to the county board, or if the city has a comprehensive plan, it goes to the city and whatever that board or the council wants to do with it. If they want to proceed with some of the ideas, great and grand. If they don't, it is what it is. Moving right along, this is a fast program today. Mm-hmm. My word. A career fair coming up? What's going on with that?
The MCEDC is partnering with Litchfield EDC, Macoupin County Economic Development, Blackburn College, and Lincoln Land College. And we are looking it's going to be in October. And what we are looking for are businesses to participate and come there who are looking to hire people. We have a captive audience with Lincolnland graduates, with Blackburn graduates who are job seekers. That date is Thursday, October 25th from 3 to 6 p.m. If you visit the Lincolnland in Litchfield website, you'll see a link to register right on there. But we are seeking employers to come and have a booth, have a table, and try to hire some local people and put some local people to work.
The bottom line is a lot of progress has been made, but there's still a lot more work that needs to be done. You mentioned yesterday at the county board meeting, the Afenia site, that's about ready to come up and operational. So, I mean, that's going to be a addition to the county, won't it?
I would hope. One of the jobs with which an economic development corporation is tasked with is workforce development. We need to know, and we've done some surveys, we need to know if the people who are unemployed in the county are genuinely seeking work, and if training would help them find it, we need to find a way to get them trained. And I think we're making some progress there. There is a workforce task development in place, and, mm-hmm. and we're doing our best. I guess that's mm-hmm. another thing I'd like to say to the listening audience, we're doing our best on a lot of different areas, but maybe it'd be better if we'd concentrate on one or two, and Erica has some ideas about site development on which we'll concentrate. But we tend to get so many things on our plate that not much happens. It just sits there and jiggles instead of going up in the air.
Well, or it comes across as nothing, like as we just discussed, that things aren't going on, but there are a lot of wheels in motion behind the scenes. There's a lot, not, you know, in secret, but just working the day-to-day operations, that there aren't big blustery announcements. But, you know, we've seen the unemployment rate drop 2% over the last couple of months, and that's fantastic. It was at 13. We're now in 11 point, I can't remember. But we are, you know, we are coming down with that, and that is significant for our community.
And, of course, one of the big challenges that each and every community has, we have to find ways to upgrade and better our education and our education facilities. We're looking at more consolidation now, and whatever happens with that program to the north of us, whatever happens, it's going to be tough for some individuals. They're going to spend a lot of time on a bus, and somebody's going to make sacrifices to make it all work.
Well, speaking of the north, I think that decision will be made Monday on whether or not that's going to be on the referendum, if I'm not mistaken. At least on the Panhandle side, it's on their agenda. So, Mr. D, Erica, it's always a pleasure having you here.
Thank you.
Running out of time. I guess another positive is you're starting to see more revitalization of downtown. You look at Litchfield now and all the work that they have done to make the storefronts and Main Street look better. That's got to help. And I know Hillsborough is trying to push that along too. But you're starting to see movement in the right direction, and that's a good thing. Anyone seeking more information on the Economic Development Corporation, Erica, what's the website that they can visit?
It's montgomerycountyillinois.org, all written out.
All right, and that's going to do it for the Wednesday talk show. Our guests this week were Erica Kennett and Ron Diefendurfer from the Montgomery County Economic Development Corporation. They will be back again, Uncle Ralph. We will have them on the docket again.
We will look forward to seeing them.
And next week, Amanda Cole from the U of I Extension office is going to be here and talk with us about the extension and probably what this means with the fair and everything, how that plays into a part.
And that will be right around the corner after next week, the county fair.
And then, of course, you're going to Farmersville on Saturday for
yep.
Sports Saturday.
We'll be...
Think you're going to have some chili, right?
Yeah.
In 90-degree weather.
I tell you what.
Chili.
Most of that chili those guys brew up there, you just put your spoon down in it, and then you pull it out, the spoon's gone. They brew up some high-powered stuff up there.
I can imagine. That's going to do it. We'll talk to you next week.